Now, Harry, for people that haven't seen you perform, I'm going to try and describe a bit about what your performance is like. So you are, I mean, can I describe you as a little bit of a geek? Is that fair?
I think that's fair, yeah.
So is it right that you were studying medicine and you gave up medicine to pursue poetry?
Yes. So when I applied to university, I applied to do medicine because I liked science at school and they tell you that's a good idea. But kind of along that process, I started writing and performing a lot more and kind of thought, you know, to do medicine, to be a doctor, you've got to be pretty committed. And I didn't think I'd have the chance to do the creative stuff as much as I wanted. So I made the natural choice to be a poet through the medium of then studying a master's degree, which kind of made sense at the time. But yes, I've always liked the logical side of stuff. I love studying maths, but kind of as I was doing that, I began to explore a lot more of the creative side of things, and kind of that slowly took over.
And what I love about your poetry is it is making subjects like maths and science kind of trendy and current and appealing and actually teaching. I mean, it's kind of educational as well, weirdly. And I think it's making those subjects popular when they perhaps haven't been quite so popular before. Have you always been passionate about the spoken word? Have you always had a love of speaking?
Yes. So I kind of got into the writing side of stuff through a lot of lyric writing. You know, as with many a teenage boy, I wanted to be in a band with my mates and, you know, slowly ticked off the instruments that I knew I couldn't play. And so couldn't really sing, but enjoyed writing lyrics. So I basically used to rap whilst three of my friends played guitar as loudly as possible. But it was kind of still that thing about being up on stage and performing and that kind of live buzz you get from it. And so I went to a poetry open mic nights and did some of the lyrics by themselves and realized that in that context, there's a lot more attention being paid to the words. So, you know, these things that I'd spent ages trying to think about, trying to craft, suddenly felt like they had a space of their own. And, you know, which made me want to do it more, but also at that same time, getting to see so many other performers and poets and see what was possible through just being given a stage and letting the words kind of speak. I found really inspiring. So I kind of began to look more into the spoken word side of things and never really stopped, I guess.
You must have an amazing memory because your TED Talks, I mean, some of your poems are very, very long and you know, it's very clever.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the rhythm and the rhyme kind of helps you, you know. It's the same way that most people probably know the words to their favourite songs. It's just repeating it and kind of knowing where it's going to go next. But yeah, I mean, also, it's I think I really enjoy performing my poems. So the first time I do it, I'll probably have, you know, a piece of paper in my back pocket just in case. But I think once I know them, I can then, you know, make eye contact with people while you're performing it and just enjoy it a bit more. So for me, that was a really important process. Whilst I write it, I speak it out loud and think about how it's going to connect with an audience in that way.
And you say, I mean, you travel all over the place, don't you? I mean, this is your world champion slam poet, is that right? So you've been to, which countries have you been to perform?
I was in Denmark this weekend. I was doing some shows in Copenhagen, which was amazing because it was, I mean, I really love doing it around Europe, especially because, I mean, this weekend it was at an English-speaking event, but often it's a huge mix of different language and cultures and you learn to kind of pick different things out. And, you know, some events they'll have translations. I've done a lot of stuff recently going to international schools. So that's kind of back to the educational side of things. I really enjoy performing to those students and getting them to write some of their own. But yeah, I've been amazing at where it's taken me. I think it's really exciting to see. I think part of what I love is how portable it is. Mm. It's, you know, just me and my words plotting about the country or the world even.
And do you speak other languages, Harry?
Yes. So as part of my maths degree, I lived in Germany for a year. Uh-huh. And so I was being taught maths in German, which, you know, is about as much fun as it sounds. But I loved that because suddenly it was learning a new language. And by then, you know, I was already writing quite a lot. So it suddenly gave a whole new lens to learning a new language because it was like having a new set of toys to play with almost and kind of trying to find new exciting words. And so, you know, I've got one and a half German poems, one's completely German, one's like most of the hard work's done in English. But again, it's really fun to kind of view it through that lens, because you know there's so much you can learn from a grammar textbook. But I think when it becomes a fun sort of game, I mean, I was definitely going about it in a different way to a lot of people in my German classes.
So I'm going to say some names of some of your poems just to give people an idea. So you've got Prime Numbers. Is it a love poem about prime numbers?
Yes. So 59.
Yeah. You've got Gangs.
Which, yeah, is as it sounds, a love poem about prime numbers. That's the closest the maths and poetry has come to combining.
I love that one. And if people haven't heard it, they must listen to it. In fact, I'm going to get you to do a little snippet, if that's okay, of one of your poems in a minute. Okay. But there's Gangster Maths. Yeah. There's Dinosaur Love.
Yes.
There's Sunshine Kid. Which, I mean, have you got a favourite poem?
It kind of varies. I think the Sunshine Kid one is a lot more personal than some of them. Mm. Just because, I mean, partly it was about me in school and that process of every child of trying to fit in and facing some bullying and then having a friend who kind of helps you get through it. But also, I guess it kind of plays on my disposition in general. I try and be quite uplifting in my poetry, and you know, try and find the best in various situations. So I like that one because I think it represents me the best. But then also, whatever poem's newest is often quite exciting because you don't really know where it's going to go. So yeah, I like taking German tongue twisters as much as I like pouring my heart out on stage. It kind of varies.
So tell us about your shows with Chris, because you were performing in Cambridge recently, weren't you?
Yes, so I've just been on tour with a friend, Chris, who's a musician under the creatively titled Harry and Chris. And that's been really fun because, I mean, we went to the same school, so we're very used to playing together. But this is kind of coming back to music through the lens of having the experience of the poetry. And he's an incredible jazz musician. So that suddenly, you know, having your mate up on stage with you gives it a new sort of energy and feel. So we kind of just try and make each other laugh as much as anything. But again, it's that really, the undertones are sort of trying to be uplifting and quite joyful and make people laugh, but also have some more poignant moments in there. So that's been really fun. So I'm coming back for the Literature Festival, and that's just the Sunshine Kid show is based on my book, which is based on the poem. And again, that's just me doing my poems and telling a few stories in between of how I got into it.
So where do you get inspiration from, Harry? Everywhere? People?
I've learned to take a notebook with me everywhere, just in case. A lot of it is based on people I meet, on those kind of interactions, but I've always enjoyed playing with language, so I try and kind of add some kind of twist in there, whether it is just being silly with alliteration or, you know, through the lens of dinosaurs or prime numbers. It's kind of, you know, trying to take those everyday interactions and conversations and make it a bit more unusual or exciting or interesting. And so sometimes a poem will start from a certain line or idea. Sometimes it will be more the message that you want to get across. But it kind of comes from everywhere. I really enjoy that about it.
I particularly like the poem entitled Mathematician's Guide to Surviving Your First Marathon.
Oh, thank you. That's a new one. And the title kind of suggests what it's about. And again, that was just through a very personal experience, but feeling like I might have quite a unique lens on it. But actually, the response I've got to that is a lot of people do the same. It's kind of whatever it takes to get you through it.
So can you give us a bit of a poem now, and then I'll give details of your Cambridge Literary Festival show.
Yes. So I'm not sure which one to do. I'll do a bit of a poem I've got called Paper People, which again started out as being playful with language and then kind of became more of a story. So this is Paper People, and it goes like this. I like people. I'd like some paper people. They'd be purple paper people. Maybe pop up purple paper people. Proper pop up purple paper people. How do you prop up proper pop up purple paper people? I hear you cry. Well, I'd probably prop up proper pop up purple paper people with the proper pop up purple people paper clip. But I pre-prepare appropriate adhesives as alternatives, a cheeky backup, just in case the paper slips, because I could build a pop-up metropolis, but I wouldn't want to deal with all those paper people politics, paper politicians with their paper-thin policies, broken promises that are appropriate apologies. There'd be a little paper me and a little paper you. And we could watch paper TV and it would all be pay-per-view. We'd see those poppy paper wrappers wrap about the paper package and watch ticket people carriers get stuck in paper traffic on the A4 paper and so on.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, again, that starts as a sort of language thing and then kind of builds up this world and talks about what it is to be a person, I guess. But yeah, that's a little snippet.
It's very, very clever and it's so quick. Give us a bit, what about dinosaur love? Can you give us a little bit of dinosaur love?
Okay, yes, I can indeed. So, I mean, this came about because, again, going to lots of poetry shows, obviously a common theme in poetry is love, and I wanted to kind of give it my own twist. So I thought, if I put dinosaurs in it, that will make it cool. So this is called Dinosaur Love. I want to say I love you, but it seems it's not enough. Because when people say I love you, it can mean a lot of stuff like, I'll always have your back, or I'm glad I'm not alone, or to be honest, I'd say anything, so you'll hang up the phone because I'm kind of in the middle of something right now. And these Doctor Who box sets ain't going to watch themselves. I want to say I love you, but it seems it's not enough. Because when people say I love you, it can mean a lot of stuff. And what I'm really trying to say is... I want to love you like a T-Rex with a tiny brain, but a massive heart. And if I was a T-Rex, I could hold you in those T-Rex arms and protect you from harm, because that's dinosaur love.
Yay! That is
got
brilliant.
Some funny looks in the street.
I bet I can hear you on your mobile just walking around. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, honestly, the humour in your poems is brilliant. Harry, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I can't wait to hear more poems that you're going to come out with next.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah, thanks again for having me on.
And enjoy Cambridge. Are we a good audience? Do you like playing here?
Yeah. So the Cambridge leg of the Harry and Chris tour was definitely one of my favourites. So I'm excited to come back at this time.
And we're very excited to have you and get a chance to see you live again. If you want a brilliant night's entertainment, then do go and see Harry Baker and enjoy his poems. And thank you again, Harry. Take care.